Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
NASA has called off today's launch of the Space Shuttle Endeavour for at least 48 hours because of a problem with the onboard heaters. So observers like Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, whose husband Mark Kelly is mission commander, will have to wait. When it does launch, it will be Endeavour's final flight. NASA's very last shuttle mission will be in June. Last year, the Obama administration ended the 30-year program. As administrations before them did, they cited expense, safety, and hopes for new NASA challenges. Ken Cockrell is a veteran of several shuttle missions. Here's how it sounded when he took off on Endeavour back in 2002.
Seven, we have a go for main engine start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. We have booster ignition and liftoff of the Space Shuttle Endeavour.
Ken is now a NASA research pilot. He's at the Johnson Space Center in Houston. As we said, you were aboard then. Hearing that, does something happen to your heart rate?
It's not monitored anymore, but I'm sure there's a great increase in the heart rate during that time. And usually a lot of noise in the cockpit, too. There were seven people on that flight, and all kinds of screaming and whooping and hollering.
Wait, really? What is it like when it takes off? I mean, I scream on a roller coaster. I can't imagine what you do.
It's sort of like being parked at a red light in maybe a small Toyota, and you get rear-ended by a 18-wheeler doing 50 miles an hour. It's sort of like that calamity and that amount of acceleration.
Wow.
Descends on you suddenly.
Well, you've flown in not just the Endeavour, the Atlantis, the ill-fated Columbia shuttle, Discovery, as well. Your thoughts, though, about watching the Endeavour make its last voyage?
I guess the number one feeling is sadness. I understand, as you sort of alluded to at the headliner of your show, that we as NASA, we respond to the will of the nation, the will of our leaders, and I'm not bitter about the fact that we're going to replace shuttle with other forms of vehicles, because we do need to do other things besides carry things to low Earth orbit. We need to get out and explore. I think that's the goal of humankind, is to reach beyond where we are now and see what is in other places and what we can learn from them.
Yeah. But still some sadness when you
watch
it go.
But still some sadness, for sure. And I think the sadness comes from the fact that it's such a rich experience to fly in space. Part of it is because of the vehicle. Very complicated machine, takes a lot of people, a lot of training, a lot of planning, a lot of effort to get it off the ground. And when you go to a lot of effort to do something like that, it tends to endear the system to you. Yeah. And that's what happens with the shuttle.
Well, but as you said, there's a thinking that perhaps there should be more exploration than what the shuttle had become, which was something of a cargo ship, you know, for the International Space Station, but also to bring the Hubble satellite. It was more of a very utilitarian, even though very extraordinary and magical, but utilitarian and not exploratory. What do you think? What are you proudest of in what it achieved?
I guess I'm more humbled than proud. I'm just humbled that I was able to be part of such a wonderful thing. I would say that, yes, even though it's a cargo ship, we could have devised a scheme to take the components for exploratory vehicles on shuttle to orbit. It might have been a more expensive way to do it, but it had that kind of utility in it, too. Mm. And, of course, the other thing that the shuttle can do that we probably will never be able to do again is return everything you launched with back with you safely to Earth.
Right, as opposed to, you know, letting much of it burn off on reentry. But speaking of which, I mean, we know that there's also been such horrible sadness associated with the shuttle. The Columbia tragedy upon reentry, the Challenger tragedy on liftoff. I understand that astronauts, we all think of that, but that astronauts and that people in NASA are haunted by that.
Oh, I'm not sure haunted is a good word. I know that personally, when Challenger was destroyed on liftoff, it made me want to be part of it even more so. Hmm. And I don't know if maybe that's a pilot mentality, but it made me want to be there to work past that, to see what happened. It's intriguing to find out what happened in such a calamity, and then to move on past it and be part of the group that moves on. When Columbia happened, of course, I was here, and I knew all the people on it, and I knew some of them very well, and so that was immensely sad. But the same feeling resonated with me and with most of us, I think, and that was these guys would want us to carry on, and so let's get to the bottom of this and push forward.
Yeah. Well, right now the thinking is to push some of this work towards private enterprise. And I know some of your colleagues, former astronauts, are leaving NASA to go work with Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic or Elon Musk's SpaceX, you know, these private entrepreneurs who are trying to build space vehicles. You've stayed with NASA, but we understand for everyone who's an astronaut, with everything that that means, I mean, this is really tough because right now, there's nothing for you to be an astronaut on.
Well, I guess you hit the nail on the head on that one. I think there is definitely a lull in the action for government-produced spaceflight for the U.S. Some of that action will be covered by the commercial entities. Some of it will be just space tourism. And I think there will be plenty of people that will be very satisfied with their contributions when they work in that kind of arena.
Well, some of it will be working with the Russians. The U.S. has contracted with the Russians who are going to use the Soyuz vehicle to shuttle people back and forth to the International Space Station. And some American astronauts may qualify for that if they speak Russian and fill in some of those other qualifications. But I was reading about one astronaut who doesn't fit in the Soyuz capsule because he's too tall. So, I mean, just this sense of here you are, in his case, a perfectly qualified and the right age astronaut and no ship to fly.
Exactly. That is true. Of course, the space shuttle had height limitations, too. There are limitations no matter which vehicle you're talking about.
But you take the point. You know, it's sort of you're in betwixt right now.
Yes.
Meantime, what's it like? Do you really see sunrise and sunset every 45 minutes?
Yes, 16 orbits per day, and that means a sunrise and sunset or a complete cycle every hour and a half. And believe me, that plays havoc on your circadian rhythm and tends to tire you out more, but it's a fantastic experience. There's just no way to describe it.
Anything else you can tell us about? I mean, we understand, you know, when you dock with the space station, it's at, 17,000 miles an hour.
But the relative velocity is very small, so no real danger regarding that. I've always put spaceflight experience in three categories. One is the ride, and it's very much an exciting ride, but that's the lowest part of it. And number two is the view, and it's a wonderful view. You can see 2,000 miles in any direction, and you cover the entire U.S. in about 12 minutes. But that's only the second best thing. The number one thing about human spaceflight is the humans. The team on the ground, the people you're flying with, forge such a wonderful bond that's what I will remember. And when I watch Endeavour take off, I will be thinking about the six folks that are on board and the fun that they're having.
Yeah. Astronaut Ken Cockrell. Ken, thank you.
Thank you very much. A pleasure being here.
The end of the shuttle program means the end of songs we play when reporting on it. We ask for your favorites. Here's a sampling.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom.
Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong. Rocket Man.
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Have a great weekend and join us again here and now.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna